this next section is about health and handwriting, one of the most popular topics of all of our surveys of all people that say, here's what I want to learn. I want to learn if I can spot health issues. One of our experts has been researching this for quite a while. Teresa DeBerry, who is standing to my left, is not only our best-looking professor of the day, but also one of our experts in document examining. So not only does she raise, what do you have, 12 kids at this point? 13 kids in Alabama. I think you have like 3 or 4, really. She's a very busy woman. She's trained. She works full-time. She finished the doc exam school. She's working cases, and she took the time to put a very, very detailed presentation together for you so she could share everything she knows about health and handwriting. So please give a big, warm round of applause to her.
Here's the reason I was really nervous. Not because I'm in front of people, because that doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is that I'm really a perfectionist. And you're going to take this home, and you're going to learn this today, and you're going to go, Teresa taught me this, but I want it to be right. And in my research, I was really frustrated because, you know, I expected to go find 50 books and find the one trait 50 times that says this is how you see this, but it just wasn't that way. It's very debatable. It's very open for interpretation. And I got really frustrated at first because, you know, I had to come up with an average. So what I've done is I've come up with the average, thrown in some common sense and my personal views and based on my experiences and everything. So what I'm giving you today is just a combination of all those things. And I'm sure we'll learn more along the way, and I invite you to expand on the things that I tell you today. Importantly, I want to stress the fact that we're not here to diagnose. You know, we look for indicators, we look for tendencies in the writing. You know, we can find something that looks like it could be a potential problem, and we might encourage someone to get treatment. As an example, one time I had a friend who I did her writing, and she said, "Well, how's my health?" And I said, "Well, you know, I see something in the middle area, the upper middle area. And it's kind of a pain dot, but, you know, I'm not really sure. I just know that there's something in that area." And she said, "Well, oh, no, there's nothing there. I have no pain, blah, blah, blah." You know, but she got concerned about it. And she did actually have a persistent cough, so she went back to the doctor, and it turned out she had walking pneumonia. So she was very, very grateful. And that's just an example of, you know, how we can use it in that way. But I just encourage you not to pick up a piece of paper and go, "Oh, yeah, something's wrong with your head," you know. We don't want to scare people half to death. We want to be able to use it to everyone's advantage. Some of the things that you find will be permanent. Some of the things you find will be temporary. You know, we talked about pain. One of the things that someone asked me on the teleconference that I answered and then went back later and thought, "No, why did I say that?" was, if I have migraine problems, will that show up in the writing if I don't have a headache at the time? And my answer was kind of a roundabout. My history, my experience has been that it shows what is happening at the time. But I thought about that some more, and I thought, well, no, that's not really necessarily true. It can, if you have chronic problems there, it can show up whether you actually have pain that day or not. You know, and I think Dr. Joe has also said that it can actually be pain before they know they have pain. So there's several examples of how it can be there and not be there some days. And also, I just said that. Pain dots can also mean current pain. It can be a past injury, a past surgery. It can be several things. Everybody reacts differently. I've seen people have a sniffle and have, you know, big dots and different writing, and then I've seen somebody have surgery and be on morphine and really not see much difference. So you have to take personalities also into consideration. You know, it's not just, okay, this is how it shows up and it's going to be like that every time. You have to, this trait stacking thing is, you're really going to have to use that in health. Okay, for the best results, what you want to do is have a stack of paper, not just a sheet of paper, because you have a sheet of paper on this, you're not going to get much pressure. You're not going to be able to see that. And in handwriting analysis, health pressure is crucial. You have to see that. So I suggest that they stack the paper up at least 3 or 4 sheets. And you want to have blank unlined paper, preferably. You preferably want to have a good ballpoint pen. And my suggestion is actually carry one around that you know is good, that you know how it writes and it's dependable and it doesn't skip. And then you can just hand that to them. Because you have to be sure. I mean, the thing that we're looking for here are ticks and skipping and the pressure thing and all of these things that can come from a bad pen. So you need to be sure the writing surface was clean, because, you know, a dot could be a crumb. And they had a decent pen. You don't want to use a pencil, and you don't want to use a belt tip, because you're not going to see pressure like you should from those things. I've also had them sitting comfortably, because, you know, if you're bending over or writing on somebody's back, you know, you're not going to write the same. Some of the things to look for are the form, and that's, you know, like you just basically look at the overall page. Even if you know nothing about handwriting analysis specifics, you can look at a page and go, well, you know, that just doesn't look right. The pressure will be different, and the rhythm will be just off, and the slant will be crazy, and height and width of letters, they won't be consistent. They'll be up and down. Legibility and exaggerations, all those things, you know, just one of the things Bart says is when somebody hands you handwriting that's really very mediocre, you know, they live by the rules, they write Palmer style, it's hard to interpret because they're just so normal. So think about that when you're looking. What you're looking is for abnormal. So you can compare those things. Here is our body chart, and I think Don went over that just a little bit earlier, and I have found that to be pretty true. I really never realized that this would be the baseline, would be up that high. So that one I'm not real familiar with. Your brain sends your messages about your physical well-being in a generalized way. I mean, you can have a skip that can mean 10 different things. So there's no just one thing that says, hey, this is always this. I mean, even pain knots can be different things. That's why trait stacking is so important. Yes?
Can you get that body chart again? I think it's such a good chart, and I think it would be great if you explained it again.
If you can tell me how to go backwards.
Get the back thing.
I like this, because this is stomach area. Is it like where your bowels are going to be? Upper body, like from your rib cage up, it's going to be your upper loop, and then like hips down will be your lower zone. Are you cool with that? Is that good enough for you?
Ask them.
But, well, they didn't ask to see it again. Okay. So anyway, we're just determining tendencies and, well, tendencies, I guess would be the best word. Everything comes from the subconscious, so you can see things, obviously, that they don't know are there already. And they can show up years before they're diagnosed. I mean, I've got a cancer slide in here, I think that's 10 years prior. So, and heart disease and stuff like that also come up pretty soon. Another thing that I have found confusing, and I was talking to someone when Don was showing his vasectomy thing, was why it would show up in the bottom. And I'm not really sure, but a lot of times something that affects the entire body can show up down there. I guess in his case, his body went, well, it's down there. So, that's what I thought. Right. I mean, it really is literal. It's down there. Oh, and I wanted to expound on the pregnancy thing, too, because in my research, I also found that a lot of pregnant women will have a larger bottom rounded area in their body because it represents, or even someone who has just a larger body zone, it'll actually reflect how you write it. So I thought that was pretty cool. What you want to do first is check the lower zone for swelling and distortion. Check for pressure patterns, because that's going to be one of your very first indicators. The pressure will start varying and it'll be, it'll not be, like for instance, your upstrokes are generally lighter and your downstrokes are generally heavier. And then you'll start having, anything outside of that is not normal. So suddenly your upstrokes get to be heavy, or you start having pressure going sideways. I mean, those are things that are not normal, so you want to look for that. Hypochondria can show up as lower zone swelling, like big, heavy, thick, wide, you know, exaggeration, your exaggeration traits. Also excessive punctuation, over embellishments, you know, those big added capitals and things like that. Because they just tend to have a lot of imagination showing in their handwriting. The important thing to remember is that we're looking for consistencies. So if you see one dot, you're probably not going to say anything. If you see 12 dots through the writing in the upper right zone, that's going to be indicative of something. And in things such as blood pressure, you know, if you just see one dot throughout, it generally denotes a problem that is just beginning. But you start adding five or six in the same area, and you realize that you've got a problem. The more you have, usually the worse it is. Healthy writing has a good fluid movement to it. It just looks healthy. It's even, the rhythm is good, consistency throughout. The lines are consistent. Let me show you this. This is important. When you draw, let me have a darker color actually. When you're drawing a line, you see how it's both sides are sharp? That's important. Because when you get into some of the other advanced diseases, you'll start getting skipping or this. Can you see that?
Is that tremor? Is the last one a tremor?
Yeah. And those things are very indicative of health problems. So you want to look for good, clean, solid lines. Even spacing between your letters and your words. Even sizing and slant, because when you start having varying size letters, you know, that can be indicative also. The writing just looks stable overall. It just looks like a good, healthy writing. And here's an example. I mean, there are some things in here, but for the most part, you see it's very fluid. It looks very healthy. All your strokes are very even. There's a couple of dots in there, but that's not important. We're not going to analyze that. That's just an example. Now, unhealthy, obviously, is going to be just the opposite. Your form and rhythm are going to be unsteady. You're going to have light pressure, uneven pressure. But I've found that the lighter the pressure gets, it seems like the worse the problem is. It'll be varying, but it seems like when it has that vapor kind of look, that they're usually pretty advanced with problems. Uneven or inconsistent letter formations is a good indicator also. Varying slants, especially if they're within the same sentence or word, is a good warning sign. You don't want different sizes throughout. Breaks, dents, skips, dots, jerks, wiggles, pen trails, all those things are things that will show up consistently in unhealthy writing. Drooping letters and words. Anytime you have the drooping letters, you've got somebody that's really tired, because it's an indicator of exhaustion. And it'll almost look like a clothesline, and it'll just fall like that. And it can be letters, it can be words, it can be entire sentences, but they're generally pretty exhausted when it gets to that point. And a lot of these diseases, they are, you know, their bodies become tired as they fight it, especially like cancer and things like that. It just has an overall immature, unhealthy look to it. Here's an example of an unhealthy. You see how the pressure is just different right here and right here? It just gets thicker. I mean, imagine these strokes. I mean, it gets thicker there, and then it comes around and gets thicker there, and it comes here and it gets thicker, and then it skips, and then it skips there. It's just, and then look, it's tacked right there. I don't know. Well, that's the accent. And then right here at the end, it's just, there's a whole lot to it, and it starts going down, and that's one of the drooping letters. Skipping up in here, and that can be blood pressure. Just the overall form of it looks unhealthy. Okay. Because pressure and varying slants and things like that are important. I just wanted to run down a little bit of that. Obviously, light pressure, I think you guys have just gone over this, is the more spiritual, artistic, sensitive person, more forgiving, less forceful, and combined with things like really short lower zone can be laziness and stuff like that. Heavy pressure, I don't think this is in your
thing.
I've added this to it. Heavy pressure is a more passionate person, more energetic, less forgiving, more forceful. It can also be a sign of slowness when it slows down and your pressure is heavy on each end. Because generally fluid writing, you know, tapers in and tapers out. So when it's just solid all the way through, it's generally slower written than bark words now. Varying pressure is just the unsteadiness, and it's a sign of confusion, and it's your body, it's just, think of it as an electrical charge. Somewhere in there, the electricity is getting closed off, and so it's kind of doing this instead. You know, like when you're frosting a cake and you've got one of those squeeze things, and it never comes out even. Writing's kind of like that. No, that's the worst. It should be stable throughout. Like I said, upstrokes are lighter, downstrokes are heavier. Wavering and erratic pressure are signs of indecisiveness, instability, hysteria, drug addiction, those kind of things. Here's an example of light pressure. That is very light there. There's an example of heavy pressure throughout. Yeah. Another one? On the one before?
Yeah.
So that's light and that's heavy. And here's an example of varying pressure. And this is really good too. See, you've got your light and then you've got your heavy. It's just very inconsistent. Your baseline is very bouncy. It's just a good example of it.
Do you know
on that one? I don't.
Would it be helpful?
I held the people around me to death, for example, whenever they're sick. I guess they hate to see me coming, but anytime somebody comes in who has a problem, I'm constantly, can I have a sample? Oh, I'm sorry, sir, you're sick. Can I have a sample?
I know you're sick at night. Please. Help.
And you just write on there all of the things that you knew about that person and all their help and everything, and you keep it in your records, because you will, as you grow, you will go back to it, and you'll be glad you did. I think Dawn covered pasty writing this morning. Mm-hmm. And this is huge in health and handwriting. Because like the slide that we just looked at earlier, that's pasty. It almost looks like you took a paintbrush and filled it in. Little pressure suggests preoccupation. It's about gratification of the senses. Touchy-feely, indulging. Heavy writing causes it to be a little crueler. Smeary points to fatigue and illness. Mm-mm. And see this one right here? There's a possibility that person had blood pressure problems. You see they've got dotting and skipping up in the top, and then they've got that pasting writing in the bottom, and that's usually indicative of something like that too.
Have you ever seen Hitler's writing?
His was very pasty.
Yeah, and it has that manic curve. Mm-hmm. So it's a good one.
And who was that killer, the slasher guy?
Jack the Ripper.
His was extremely pasty. But then Lord Byron's was too. combined with interruptions of stroke, it can point to gallbladder, liver disease, biliousness, which you'll have to ask Dr. Joe, because I really don't know what that means. And heart problems. And there's another example of pasty writing. Okay. And then I wanted to briefly cover the slants. Because here's the thing. The reason that you need trait stacking so much in here is because personality types have tendencies. You know, a person who is aggressive, very analytical, investigative, all of those angular things. That's the person who's already thinking ahead, who's going to be frustrated easier, you know, combine some temper in there, put in there a big fat D. And you've got somebody who's really going to be, you know, a very aggressive, very frustrated, angry person. Well, heart problems, blood pressure problems, stroke, cancer, you know, all those tendencies show up in there, especially, you know, like resentment strokes and things like that. So looking also at the tendency, alcoholics, it seems, have the tendency to be the kind of people who go for the excess. You know, they're looking for something else. A lot of them have big fat D's. You know, they're sensitive, they need something else. I don't know. There's just a lot of things like that that you'll find becomes a pattern, and you'll start to see it, and it matters. Here's the right word, D-E. And then here's your varying slant, which this one was bipolar. And as you can see, the varying slant is not the only problem that they have going on in there. There's no rhythm, there's no form. You know, it's up and down, the pressure is all over the place. I mean, you can look at it, your kid could look at that and go, something's wrong with that person. Emotional pain, this is just an example of, they have the rightward slant, so they're an outward kind of person, compassionate, outgoing people person. But then look at the eye, it's completely repressed. So when you ask this person about themselves, they're going to close off. Obviously, there's something there they have to hide, they've been hurt, there's some kind of pain with themselves they don't want to share with you. Ask them anything else and they're fine. But go personal and they're going to hold off. So that's one sign of emotional pain. Depression, you know, about the falling baseline. A big thing in the health and handwriting is that the letters and the words will also go down all the way through. Here's your resentment stroke. And Jerry and Dawn, I believe, can help you to figure out the age. You know, he was talking yesterday about the age that the resentment happened in relation to the rest of the writing, and I've found that to be a lot of fun to bring out to people. Look at the sarcasm in that person's writing.
Yeah, and it's optimistic.
Optimistic sarcasm.
I'm glad I said
it. Yeah. Okay, now, isolation. You know, as we talked about yesterday, how your letters being spaced apart and then your words being spaced apart, and usually the farther apart the words are spaced, you know, the more isolated the person is. And this person actually had agoraphobia, that's the one where you have to stay in the house. You can't be around the public. That's what this person had. So they were not only repressed writing, you know, so they're already like this, and then it's all scratched up and they're like this. So it's like they're almost like you can look at their body language and it's kind of like this, leave me alone, you know. This is an example of physical pain. And let me tell you about this one too. This is actually my husband's writing. So he had stiff neck. His right knee was bothering him. And you know, it's like if you lay on the paper this way, so the right side. And here's what's funny. He didn't really have any pain in the middle area, but he did have gas. So you can see that. Because he was like, oh my God, you can see that stuff? Because, well, you know, it was like, I don't know, baked bean day or something. So I said, you had beans. That's what it is.
is, when you're going to do that with the dots and somebody, do you give them the supply of the pen and the paper for them right there, just to, rather than take a sample from them that you're not sure whether they had one of those faulty big pens or something?
That's what I prefer to do. Now, some people don't really like to do it in front of you because they like to go think about it and give you their very best writing. But I generally will just produce here. Just do it for me right here. That way I know for sure, you know, what their writing circumstances were. Oh, and this one was the one we covered on the teleconference. And that would be like this area, right side. Also, I just realized that I had a bunch of notes that were on the bottom, but they don't show up when you're in presentation mode. Pain can also show up as a skip, or a dent, or a twisty word. Twisty, like twisted strokes. Also, it can be like cramped writing, like really cramped, tense writing. A person is usually in a lot of pain. If you find all those things, they're probably in a whole lot of pain. Okay, now this is a combination of current pain and old injuries and scars. This was a friend of mine, and when I got finished, I mean, he was a healthy guy. The only thing I knew was that his back was a little stiff. But I said, well, you've got this, and this. When he was 2, he was hit by a car. Broke his leg, broke a rib, there's a little knot right here, rib, had a concussion, and also he had had testicular cancer and had had his left testicle removed. So all through here you see on the left side of the stroke you see these little knots, and it's always on the bottom left side. And one of the things that I found in handwriting is that cancer shows up very well in the curving, bottom curving part also. So I thought that was a good combination of what I had learned. Well, here's the way I put it. I said, I see pain dots here, and here. And what that can mean is this, or this. And he goes, well, that's amazing because, yes, this was surgery, and this was broken, that was concussion. So he was blown away. Okay, here's arthritis. What is arthritis? Arthritis is, you have to think, okay, they're gonna feel fatigued, their bones and joints are achy, so they're gonna have pain. Put aside the oscillation and all that in the writing. Just look at the actual stroke. You see how the pressure changes? And there's little ticks in there, there's a little pain dot right there, but it's really not so much a pain dot as it is just uneven pressure and like pastiness, it's just thick there. And see how the pressure gets really thick between the letters? It's just not fluid. Right down here it gets a little shaky, it's broken. The letters are not fluid, they're not rounded, they're jagged. And that comes more with painful illnesses and things. And here's an enlargement. So you can see how the stroke itself just looks like that, like a child, like they have just really slowed down and concentrated, and it just becomes jagged and kind of broken and uneven and thick. And the letters go down, depressed below the baseline. And they actually have this little dot right here. It's also important. That shows up a lot in illnesses where you're tired. It just makes you tired. And there's some more arthritis. Same thing. Here's another thing that you'll see a lot of, too, with this kind of thing. See how these strokes will just go down like that? It's like they're just too tired to just even lift the pen. You know, they're just, and then they're through when they're over. But look at this one. I'm not going to go all the way down. There at the end, it just gets clubbed. So they're just...
Look at the open S's on those, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't even finish their stroke. I mean, you can tell they're just having a hard time even doing it. It's bent, jagged all the way through, there's a little tick. can't tell you what all those are. But they will show up as venting in the top and the middle loop sections. That's not in here.
Would you say that?
Glandular disorders will show up as venting on the top of a looped middle section and upper section letter, like your vowels and L's and D's. And it'll also show as a twist. As a twist in the letter. Now, the twisting that I found to be in the lower zones, all the twisting that I found in the lower zones have been molestation and that kind of thing that Don has covered already. But upper zone like this, and my initial thought with this guy was I knew that his back was injured. So I thought right off the bat, oh, well, he's injured his back. You know, there's some kind of back problem. Well, there was a back problem. But then, and this didn't really show up on the screen very well. Right through here, all across his upper middle zone, it just flattens out all the way across. And then on top of his upper zones up there, it flattens out as well. And then combined with that twisting, that's all glandular, every one of those. So he's obviously got some kind of thing going on. And I had a friend who had dents all across her upper, her L's and D's, and she was diabetic, actually.
Where do you see the dents?
There's one in the top of that twisted D. There's one in the top of that A, actually. Overwork, the R is dented at the top. Elsewhere, the P and the R. I don't even see those. They're really dark on mine. In the bottom on chiropractor, the R. And it doesn't look like the manual dexterity R. It just looks different. It's just smashed down. Pancake. And look at that D, the capital D, the last letter. It's just, it's not a fluid, rounded.
Is that supposed to be German or?
Driving.
That dents in the tops of the letters, right?
Mm-hmm. And dents in the top of the diabetes, is that what you said?
Well, it's just glandular. But now, like I said, denting can also be indicative of pain. So, but this person also has signs of extreme fatigue. So, he's got something going on, for sure. And there's a close-up of the top of the A, the top of the N, and the top of that D with dents in them. I mean, it's not an inward dent. It's more like you just smashed it down. And here's an example of exhaustion. And I just covered some of the exhaustion, but a lot of times you will see those resting knots. And look right here, even the period has a resting knot. It's like they just are just so exhausted, it's just hard for them to keep the pen. It's almost like dragging home a bag of groceries that's too heavy, and you have to stop and rest for just a second, and you just kind of make a trail, you know. And see how, here's your baseline, it goes across right here and then down. And it'll just kind of go, it just goes downward. It just, and that's the just depression from being so tired. And also the skipping, the pressure changes. But the reason I used this example was for the resting dots. The ink trails are on the bottom, on the N and the I, and those are important also. You'll see those a lot in cancer and joint and bone things and kind of diseases that just really wear you down. You know how I talked earlier about the angular writing and the ulcers and heart disease and everything? Ulcers is a... This one was a good example because it's an example of that particular kind of writing. And what you'll find is in this lower midsection, it'll just get, the pressure will just get really thick. And it's not necessarily a pain dot, but it's like a pain splotch almost. But it'll be thickening like that along this bottom area. Off here, through there, and there. And I think this person's got a lot more than just that going on, obviously, because they've got the falling letters and the jaggedness. And see how the M's, after the M comes down on the second line, on the third letter over, the last part of that M, where it comes back down into itself before it goes that way, that's called angles at the baseline, and that's also indicative of disease. You know, I'm thinking, I'm wondering why I decided to put that in here. But anyway, this person was wounded in the war. And it didn't say exactly what had happened, but you can kind of put it together. But he was very embarrassed, and he didn't want to come out and say exactly what it was. He just said he was disabled, he had been in the war, and his disability was of private nature. And the problem is in that lower mid area, and his thought was, why again, just like Don's.
Don has that problem?
He had a vasectomy. I knew you were going to say that. His vasectomy scar showed up down there. So, you know, that's kind of, this is the down there thing. And he's got skipping all through these letters right through here. It's just, there's just this, a space there. Like, obviously something's gone. And so that's how it shows up. His body sees it as something that's missing. So it just comes up, it just shows up as a space where it's just gone. And it skips all the way across. There's one, and there's one. It just skips all the way across through there.
How is that different from that dollar trade that you're working on? Space? Or was that one of
I wasn't here when I'm at, actually.
Talking about breaks at the baseline, where there's a small break at the baseline.
That is in the vowels, like the O and the A.
Yeah.
That's where that is.
That's a purposeful kind of break that they make, right? But this is not.
Right, this is everywhere, and it'll show up consistently. Another thing that you have with disease are stroke jerks. And it's that denting kind of thing I was talking about earlier with operatas. See how you just, your letter formations are just not rounded, and they're not fluid. They're not the way you've learned them, basically. They're angular. They become angular and dented. And if you'll sit down and think of scenarios and actually practice these formations, you will feel how odd it is, how odd it feels to make those formations that way. I mean, you know, when you're writing, you're generally in a fluid, writing in a fluid, rounded way. You know, and even if you write angular, you're not going to be writing angular horizontally. It's vertically. So
what is the health issue of the E? Can you tell us that?
This person has joint problems. So they're in a lot of pain. And this is just one of the indications. And it's in the that middle area that he was hurting.
That shows stroke jerks.
And right here. Right, and right here,
yeah,
it's just the jerking of the pen. It's not fluid. It's just like you're writing, and you just, you know, you're. It's just kind of a jerky.
It's effort.
It's a huge effort. It's like your pen's heavy, and it's not fluid. A lot of older people start writing that way. On the E, there's a little tick, and there's another little tick in the G, and those are also important. This person also has bone spurs. And so that's what those were.
The person also has
bone spurs.
Oh.
And this is the same person. And I just wanted to show you the bone spurs and the resting dots. And here's another bone spur right here. And you know, this is what I find interesting. He's got problems within the, what's it called, what's in your bone? Marrow? And look at that.
Yeah.
That's so indicative to me of that
person. How old that person is?
60-ish.
Yeah.
Very unhealthy. I mean, lots of pain. And, I mean, you can see his writing is, you know, it's almost cancerous looking. And
on the bone spur on the Y, do you have a placement for that?
That was
the body?
His, let's see, left knee.
Okay.
Right in this area right here. And it's really causing a lot of problems because it's causing two bones to fuse together. It's really giving him a lot of problems. But, I mean, look right here in this A. You know, so obviously he's got problems within the bone. There's a skip right there also. And right there. And he's had a biopsy, like, years ago. But I encouraged him to have another one. I didn't want to encourage him strongly just because I was afraid of how he might react. I just said, well, you know, With that particular disease, don't you have tendencies for that? I mean, don't you want to get checked more often? You know, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to scare him half to death. Okay, here's your high blood pressure. Now, again, you don't want to just look for one little tip. Just one little skip. One little skip would be at the beginning. It could be, you know, pain. It could be stress. Basically, the skip itself is indicative of stress. Let's just say that to make it easier to understand. So you've got one little thing in your writing. Let's just say that's stress. Or maybe you've got pain. But you start combining it all the way through your body and you start seeing it more and more. Generally, you've got something going on there. And it's better to go and have it checked out. And you can see this person has it, you know, bunches. All up in the upper zone. So that's a pretty good case of blood pressure. I have actually mildly high blood pressure, and I only have one little skip. So it's just started.
Do you have an idea of what low blood pressure looks like?
It's very light. It's
does it skip?
I actually have one in here.
Okay.
Here's another high, but yeah, it still skips.
Okay.
That's another one. And this one actually has the heart hitches that we're about to go into. Here's one right here, and here's one right here. And those are signs of heart problems. And there's a heart skip. So,
what do you mean by heart hitch?
It's
a flattening, it looks like.
Yeah, I've got a better one that's coming up next. Let me just show you the skip right quick first. That's just a skip. Now, you know, heart disease and blood pressure go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So, here's the next one. Heart tick or the heart hitch. And it's just like, now that is kind of an actual dent, indentation, that you will see in the upper left section of an O, or the upper zone like this. I'm not sure about the lower zone. Do you know about that, Jerry? It's in the lower zone or not?
The heart hitch should be the VH in the upper zone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, to go along with that, I've seen that they have bulbous-looking upper lips, like their D's and everything, kind of go like this. This one right here. It's not like just a fluid. Like that. It's more of a kind of goes up and then curves out like that.
That's what I mean.
Just upper loops.
Oh, upper loops.
And also they can have not a very good example of drawing.
Can they have dents in them? Is that what we're gonna look for or what?
The denting comes in the O, upper left section of the O, and then the top portion of the upper zone. Oh, goodness. I'm running bad all the time. But they'll also have those bulbous D's or L's, that kind of thing. And they also can have scrunched down looking E's, like the glandular thing in the middle zone. You can have those scrunched down E's also. I'm going to have to hurry. There's another example of the blood pressure and the heart hitch. Cardiovascular insufficiency basically is light, irregular pressure, trembling and shaking. The baseline comes and goes. Letters plunging. You'll have those dots and strokes and ticks and stuff like that. A lot of times you'll see in this and also with cholesterol problems, the O can actually be heart-shaped. And I actually have seen that. But I had a friend sitting next to me at work, and she had really high blood pressure, and I was like, oh, let me see your O. And sure enough, it was the heart. And you'll see the pasty writing, the vowels filled with ink, and there's low pressure. See, she's just got very light pressure in the writing, because basically the body's just weaker. So you'll just see a lot of weakness in there. And sometimes you'll see unfinished letters and things like that. Here's the cholesterol with that heart-shaped O.
On the thyroid disease, I have low thyroid and I have to take medication for it. Mm-hmm. Will that show up when you're on medication? If the medication has
it? If it fixes it, I don't know. I would be, I'd like to see. If you should see writing that what you did before you went on the medication, and then compare it to what you have now, and see and tell me.
With the medication, if it's working properly, your symptoms should disappear.
So, did you hear that? He said, if you are on medication and it is treating it properly, your symptoms should disappear. Here's the hearing impairment. You can have denting, a slight denting and skipping in that upper left section. And then that's a personal I, that's a capital I, that's shaped like an ear. And you will always find that if they have had degenerative problems and it's been gradual, you might not see that. But I've seen a good amount of cases that the eye was shaped that way. Can you guess what blindness would be? Anybody?
No eye.
That's bad. Actually, that was a trick question because it would be Braille. Because they're not seeing the page. And you can't see the Braille because the thing is too light. And I was like, I'm going to get him with that one. And you couldn't even see it on the screen. But it was all those Braille dots. You won't see anything because they won't be writing. In stroke, it's just the blood pressure thing.
If there's a impaired hearing and they're wearing a hearing aid, does the stroke remain or does it go away?
I don't know. I guess if the same case holds true that they're being treated effectively, you might not see it. There's just an example of cirrhosis of the liver. I have seen that the vertical writing is shaky and it'll have rounded, like the garlands, like lots of rounded on the bottom is usually a liver thing. Alcohol and drug abuse, your baselines are bouncy, your coordination is bad, you'll have sagging, jumbled script, lots of edits, pressure changes, spasms, pastiness, if it's drugs, overinflated or overextended upper loops.
By edits, do you mean retracing?
Yeah, well, yeah, they've gone back and fixed things.
Retouching.
And there's an alcohol thing. That's Lester, before and after his whiskey. And he's got, see, the pressure gets lighter and more jagged and jumbled. You see how it looks more childish overall? And then there's the Seagram's drinking chart sample, which I think is pretty cool. But I think it's a good idea tonight when everybody goes out. If you take a writing sample before you start drinking, and then take one after you finish drinking, you see what the difference would be. I told Bart, I said, what I'm going to do when I get up there is I'm going to come with this big satchel. I'm going to have a bunch of minis and some drugs. I'm just going to dump them all out and go, okay, we're going to get a sample now. And then there's just a quick example of drug abuse. It's a lot like alcohol abuse, actually. I do see vertical clubbing, and I do see the swollen upper zone and stuff, but I generally see pretty much the same thing as alcohol, so I don't know that I could differentiate which one if I were looking. You know, I would have to know about the person. You generally need to know about the person.
It looks like it's going to break, too.
Yeah, self-control. And there's heroin. I had one of our document examining cases that had crack cocaine. I should have done that one. And there's heart attack, and the bottom one is lung cancer. I'm going to get into cancer in just a second. The heart attack, I just wanted you to see the pasty, ink-filled vowels. And this is more writing of my friend that had the bone disease.
Had what?
The bone disease.
Is that in here?
No. And then here's just a brief overview of Parkinson's because Dr. Joe's covering that. But basically, they get the trembly writing, and it tends to get smaller as they get more progressed. I just wanted you to see an example. Okay, cancer I want to cover. The thing about cancers, they become tired right off the bat, so they get more and more fatigued as they go along. So you'll see weakness show up in their writing, and that's, you know, the signs of fatigue, weak pressure, skipping and stuff like that, broken strokes. You'll see twisted letters and strokes because of the pain. The cornering of the lowercase letters actually stops being fluid and starts to get to be more angular. And the stroke, instead of being flat on each side, will start to look like link sausage. This is something you have to see and have a microscope to see. It's not something you're going to see with your eyes. So be very careful about that. But there's an example.
Can you go back for a second? Just 1 second, please.
Okay, see how it looks like the link sausage right there? You know, I showed you the straight, how the stroke on the side is a straight line like that. And see that it's not like that anymore. And then here, instead of it being fluid into the next letter, it comes back in, which is another good thing to look for. It comes back into itself and is angled when it goes back out. And there's usually pressure right through here just as they start their next upstroke. And see, that's not...
Does that tend to be anywhere in the handwriting or in the area of the body that the cancer is?
I believe it's in the area where the cancer is, but I've seen a good amount right there.
In that particular place?
Yeah. So I need to check that out a little bit.
Which
further.
Is on an L? Is that the ending of an L?
I think that was an H or an L. Oh. And this lady right here, this is when she was 28. And all I see is just a couple of little spaces right here. They said that based on their studying, they consider that negative. And then again, at 33, you start to see more of this. And it becomes, see how this is more rounded and fluid, and it starts coming back in to itself and starts getting the lumps. And then right over here, you can see it's very jagged, very angular, and then she's got the link sausage thing. Now, here's the story on this girl. They actually did the study of her handwriting after she died. She was diagnosed with advanced breast cancer at 41 and died at 42. And they took her handwriting samples from, like, her insurance forms and stuff to do research on it. And so she could have known 10 years earlier, almost. That's huge to me, and I'd really like
to... Did she have cancer in any other part of her body?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess once it advances, it goes everywhere, but I don't know. I don't know enough about it. One of the main points I wanted to make was, okay, the primary cause of every disease stems from some kind of emotional, spiritual, mental discord. And the only permanent basis for health and happiness is mental and spiritual harmony. Basically, when you can't let go of something and you hold on to things, it really does eat you up inside. And they've done a lot of research on cancer, and they could actually go back and pinpoint it to something traumatic that happened that they couldn't get over. And it interrupts all of your energy flow. It causes your body to not be able to release the bad toxins, and they start building up inside. And it just literally just poisons you from the inside out. But anger does that, and resentment does that. And all these different diseases, they actually can link to different personality traits and things. So, you know, I'm like this. This is the way I feel. If you start to have the beginning signs of blood pressure and heart problems and things like that, and you've got a resentment stroke, take out the resentment stroke. Work, you know, realize, hey, I've got resentment. Find what the resentment is. Work through it and get yourself on a better track. You know, I think you can, to help get yourself through things. And here's just a quick list of some of the diseases that they've associated with health problems. Let's see, there's tuberculosis, lack of freedom, shut-in complex, cancer, dissatisfied love nature, selfishness, frustration. Frustration is huge. Yeah, that's in there. It's really, really tiny, though. So, you know, just... My whole point is, let go of things. Find the lesson in whatever it is that you go through. Realize that things happen for a reason. Find a lesson out of everything. I think that helps everybody grow. If you can, even in a bad situation, if you can learn something from it and become a better person from it, you can move on. And you can be a better influence and help somebody else out along the way. But if you sit and stew in it and never let anything go, you're just killing yourself. So you're letting it get you twice.
So, well, you're mad at somebody else. You're not hurting them. You're just hurting,
yourself. Exactly. And I preached that to my mother.
Have you referenced Elise Hay's book on cause and effect of the sentence?
Not Louise Hayes. Actually, here's the ones I did.
Yeah, you can go her life. It's a kind of shows the spiritual aspect. Mm-hmm. She cured herself with positive affirmations of cancer.
Yeah. Right. Well,
the book ties right.
You know, however you have to do it, I happen to be, I'm a Christian, and so I believe in God and faith and stuff like that. But think about it. Faith is believing. You know, it's praying about something, but it's believing that it's going to happen. That's power of the mind. And professing things with your mouth. Neuro-linguistic programming. I mean, so however you have to do it, just do it. You know, that's my speech.